powerful song, isn't it? I'm gonna see a victory. See a victory. The battle belongs to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. This week, got to meet with meet for coffee. Amen. Amen. We met for coffee with Mr. Gary Pacenti. Everybody, look over that way. The handsome-looking guy that was playing the guitar, and we were discussing his father's services, which will be this Tuesday. The calling hours will be 6 to 7, and then the funeral will be at 7. We hope you come and join us Tuesday night, 6 o'clock calling hours, 7 o'clock service. And his dad came to church here for many years, and this came to me as we were sitting there the other day. We were in here preparing for something. Paulie might remember better than I, and Gary's dad came to the front doors. It was a Saturday night. He began to knock on the front door. Did I ever tell you this story? Saturday night, begins to knock on the front door, and I'm thinking, who is knocking at the door on Saturday night? Took a walk up there, and it was Gary's dad, and unlocked the door. He came in, and he said, I'd like to sit in here while you're doing whatever you're doing. I said, okay, come on in. And as we begin to, it was a song and a skit and so on. He began to cry, Gary. Tears began to run down his face. And I walked up to him and I said, what's the matter? He says, nothing's the matter. I'm just so happy to be in the Lord's house. And so we're at coffee this week. And Gary, my dad, said, is there a song that you'd like to do? And he says, I got to tell you. He says, and I'm thinking he's going to say, great is thy faithfulness, or leaning on the everlasting arms, or something like that. Which I've gotten letters from lots of people on, this is what I want you to sing at my services. And Gary, isn't it crazy tonight? We come in here, and the song that he said he'd like played is, Debbie, See a Victory. I'm going to see a victory. And Kai had no idea. I didn't say anything to Kai. And the Lord just tonight orchestrates that song being played in here. And as I contemplated that song, the first moment you said it, it struck me as like, see a victory. Dude, I'm not going to play that at a funeral. And then I began to, the Holy Spirit began to work on me. And what a victory. Not only that entrance to heaven, but he's got his boy up here on the stage tonight. He's got his grandson-in-law in the back there standing next to him, helping up in the sound booth. What a victory that is. And so, yeah, I said a lot to say. I said a lot to say Tuesday night, 6 o'clock calling hours, 7 o'clock services. And it'll be a blessed time. Amen? So I hope you can make it. I got a scripture up there somewhere. I see the boys are having fun in the back there. There they are. This is Romans 8, and I asked them to get this ready because I have a little trouble seeing the words up here, so they're back there on the screen. I can read them a little earlier, easier, that is. And the words say this, and as I begin to, Pastor Aaron's texting me right while I'm up here. Bless the Lord. You're a sinner saved by grace, aren't you? I'm just kidding. I'll read that later. Chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, says these words, those who live according to the flesh. And let me say this before I read this. When I felt the Lord to share this scripture, I was like, ugh. I don't want to read this scripture on a Thursday night, but I felt a tug on my soul to read this. So I know it's for someone that's either here or someone who's watching. And I pray that the Lord would minister to you as he wills tonight. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you like peace? The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. A lot of different versions, hostile. Amazing to read all the different versions. Maybe you read it on your own later. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh can't please God. Whew. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And then I just want to finish reading by reading this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Let me say that again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have this obligation. But it is not to the flesh, but it's to live according to the Spirit. Just a couple thoughts. In verse 5, it says a lot. But just a thought out of verse 5. What does the Holy Spirit desire for your life? You know, I've talked to people, and this is how the scripture struck me as far as finances, and I'd like you to prepare your offerings tonight. What does the Spirit desire for us? Well, you know, I really want a new car, Lord. I really want a raise. I really want this promotion. We attach our giving and our living so much to things, don't we? Am I the only one, or does anyone else in here? All right. What does the Holy Spirit desire for your life? Very familiar passage that you'll be familiar with. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. So what the Holy Spirit desires for us and desires in us is to seek his kingdom first. My question for you tonight, for me first, is, that's Jesus, I know it is. My question for you tonight and for me is, are we walking in what God desires for us? And it's totally fine to want things and you know, listen, I like stuff. I like a new pair of boots. But I want to use that pair of boots to bring glory to God. Is anybody with me tonight? In verse 8, who wants to please God? The scripture says, these things please God. And I just jotted down, we must ask him daily what his Spirit would have us do in every situation. We can't count on our own strength to do what pleases God. We've been going through this Bible study on Wednesday nights and up in the barn and talking about from the subject soul detox. And, you know, there's this parallel between the Holy Spirit doing a work in us and us saying yes to the work he wants to do. you know, you can't say, I gave my life to Christ, I accepted Christ, and now I don't have to do anything. I don't have to make any choices. I'm set. We must ask him daily what the Spirit would have us do in every situation. And my last thought is we have an obligation. I like that because I like to be obligated to things. I like an obligation to my church. I like an obligation to my friends. If you're my friend, I don't tend to leave friendships. I don't tend to leave an obligation very easily. People can say I've had friendships where people said the craziest things. And kind of the way I was brought up is just to let it go. Am I right? I like those obligations. But the obligation I like most is the obligation that verse 12 talks about. We're not fly-by-night people. We're not run-and-gun people. We are obligated people. When we accept Christ into our hearts and we name the name of Jesus and we tell people, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, we have an obligation to live that out. And this is the tug that I had on my spirit this week. I want to encourage you, but as I encourage you, I want to encourage me that everything I do to filter it through that obligation, to filter it through the obligation that I have to walk in that integrity, to walk in that character, to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to be on time to work. It's not easy to pay our bills on time. I knew it'd be quiet in here. It's not easy when someone's nasty to us to just smile and say, bless the Lord, it's great to see you today. But we have an obligation. Look at your neighbor and say, we have an obligation to walk in the fruits of the Spirit and do the will of the Father. Here's why we have that obligation. I'm ending with this. Here's why we have that obligation. Because people are watching you as they look to Jesus. That's tough, isn't it? Here's what else we have an obligation to. God wants, the Bible says, because you ask for wisdom and knowledge. You know the scriptures. If you're faithful with a little, I'll make you ruler over much. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think this obligation is so tightly tied to our giving. If we can't get this portion of our spirits in line, if we can't get this portion of our lives in line, how do we get the rest in line? Hello? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. I want to pray for us, but I want to pause in this moment, and I want to give you an opportunity to take a step in this direction, to take just a nudge in the direction of giving, because we have an obligation to walk our beliefs out. Can somebody say amen? As you're preparing tonight, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we don't want the things of this world, but we want your best. We want your best for our children. We want your best for our spouses. We want your best for our church. That is our prayer in this place. And we want to walk out that obligation, Father, to do your work, to do your will, to live in a way that's pleasing to you, not in a way that's selfish or conceited, but in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, our prayer tonight, our longing tonight, our draw tonight is to your work and to your things. And Father, we pray that everything we say and do pleases you and it honors you and it brings you glory. In Jesus' name.
I just got a message from Paul and Becky McCowan, that Becky's mom was just taken to the hospital. I just wanted to come up here and pause a minute and pray for her. Would you just pray with me for her right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Becky's mom tonight. Right now, wherever she is, whatever the situation is, God, I pray healing, I pray help, I pray peace over their entire family. God, do what you do so well. Lord, we're in an atmosphere saturated with faith tonight. We believe you for good things to take place. Lord, for those who are here tonight that are facing an issue, just meet their need right now. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, everybody said a big amen.
Amen. And we have that obligation to pray for one another, that when someone has a need, that we come right along and take care of it. And so we do pray that prayer tonight. Amen. Because I want you praying for me when I'm sick. You better be praying for me. And I'll be praying for you. Thank you, Lord. Speaking of commitment to God's house and to the Lord's people, it's a weight. It's a strong weight. Those that minister up here, it's not just a writing a message, but it's a walk that we walk out day in and day out. And I've watched Brad do that for how many years, Brad? 18 years. Awesome. I'm thankful to serve with Brad. I'm thankful to see all his children here. Brad, I like him. The kids, I love them. The kids are awesome. And we're thankful. We're blessed to have Brad in the house here. And why don't you bless him tonight as he comes? Stand up and give him a hand. Come on, give him a better hand than that.
Thank you, Brad. You got that fancy mic on.
What?
You got that fancy mic on.
Just one more. For Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, that was awesome. That was awesome. Kai, great job leading tonight. Worship team, just a fabulous job. Talk about a young man just allowing himself to be developed for God to just work in him through worship. Kai, you're a good man. You're a great example to my son, to Andrew and Ryan. Good reference points to my son, Ethan. So appreciate the parents for doing what they do for my kids to see great examples. So amen, amen. So tonight I'm really excited, and I look around and I see a lot of people, and everyone in the house tonight has helped me in my walk, some way, somehow. Every one of you has helped me in my walk with God. So I just want to give yourselves an applause tonight for Jesus. And Kelly, you know, I love you, I honor you. Taylor, Riley, Ethan, you see all the good, you see all the bad, you see all the growth I'm going through. So honor you tonight for seeing all my ups and downs. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Jacob, little Jacob, we appreciate you being in the house tonight. You're a good boy, and we appreciate you being here tonight, Jacob. So I'm glad you're here. Well, I have the honor of sharing. I'm hoping some friends and family that have joined me online, Facebook, YouTube. I think there's another one, but I hope you're online. And share this with somebody so it reaches out and expands the kingdom of God. And tonight I have a great opportunity to use some testimonies that I have to glorify Jesus, to use some stories in the Bible tonight to glorify Jesus, and to use the Word of God to really glorify Jesus tonight. We've all heard of the phrase, a leopard cannot change its spots. The phrase, a leopard never changes its spots, means that it's impossible for one to change their character, even if they will try very hard. The expression sometimes is also said, a leopard can't change its spots. It's used to explain the idea that no one can change their innate nature. Now, I have a little testimony. I worked up in Buffalo at Transit Town Hyundai for 11 years, and I met this gentleman. His name was Chris Banning. He was a little older than me, but I worked with him for about 11 years. And Chris, I wish you could have joined tonight, but I hope you're listening because this is for you tonight. But he said something, and to this day, I remembered it. He said, now I see a leopard can change its spots. I didn't really understand what he meant at the time. You see, Chris only knew me from my salvation. He knew me as a saved man. He knew me after I accepted Jesus. He only heard the stories before I was saved. He would only heard the dirty, messy stuff. He never actually seen it. And as we grew and as we developed as friends, and he watched me at Transit Town for many, many years, he said it over and over again, now I see a leopard can change its spots. This saying was coined thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 13:23 reads, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard change its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You see, Jeremiah was fulfilling his ministry by proclaiming God's judgment against the people of Judah for their idolatry, their unfaithfulness, their disobedience to God's will. Their hearts were calloused. The question, can a leopard change its spots, confirmed Judah's inability to change their own ways. The nation had reinforced its habits of doing evil for so long that they didn't even know how to do good. The land had been filled by the people's idolatry. The leaders had brought the nation to brink of disaster, and the people were exiled. But based on his everlasting love for Israel, God's promised to bring the people back from captivity and restore them to blessing. Amen? The scripture tells us that the people of Judah had become accustomed, trained, used to evil, so callous to God's ways. It had become such a habit to sin against God. Sin became part of their family lineage. It became part of their history. It had become part of who they were. It had become part of their DNA. As a leopard has spots and the spots are inscribed into their DNA, sinning against God had become inscribed in their DNA. Let me pray. Father God, no flesh glory. God, everything that is spoken tonight brings glory back to you. Every testimony, every word that I speak brings glory to you, because without you, I wouldn't be standing here. You touched me 18 years ago, and that's why I stand here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the title of my message tonight is The Pause. And I like to define the word pause. A temporary stop or rest, an interruption, waiting, hesitating, suspense. To make a short stop, to cease for a time, to wait, to hesitate, to hold back, to delay, to stop in order to consider or rest, to reflect. In sports, they use timeouts, a halftime, to pause. This allows the team, the coaches, and the players to get together, to group back together, to collaborate, to come up with a strategy against their opponent. Some people use meditation, they use deep breathing, they use many methods to pause and rest. Some people use self-talk, self-evaluation to pause and see the situation or circumstance to be able to formulate a better way. Reflection is another way we can pause. Reflection allows us to think about the day, think about the week, think about the month, think about the year. Think about what's actually happening. This allows us to look at things that work and don't work in our lives, learn from them, make adjustments, and try again. Prayer is one of our most powerful ways to pause. Prayer connects us with God. Prayer allows the Holy Spirit to do the work, that we cannot do on our own. In a moment of stress, high intensity, high emotions, crucial situations, it's very important that we have the ability to pause, to take a moment in time, to slow yourself down, to look at what is really happening around you. In those crucial moments of pressure, anything can happen. Bad choices, bad decisions, a turn that you didn't want to make, a door that you shouldn't have opened, words that should have not been said that you can't take back. The vulnerability of sin is easy. Turning back to old ways and habits starts to creep in. Reaction. Looking at this world that we live in, we are trained to react. Social media, texts, emails, react. We need God to help us pause. Perhaps our greatest power in life is the power to choose. Without question, choices are the most determining factor in how our life turns out. And I want to give you a testimony, and this testimony is not to be critical or anything of my family or my wife or my children, anything. It's really to glorify what God is doing in my life. You see, when I was growing up, it was destructive. When I was Taylor, Riley's, and Ethan's age, there were holes getting kicked in the wall. There was rage. There was anger. There was intoxication. There was drunkenness. It was a toxic environment. And there's times now where my kids are screaming and they're crying and they're fighting. And my wife is holding it all together. But within, I'm boiling. I'm boiling over. I don't understand what's happening to me. I'm hearing those things happen. And I have to take a pause. And I don't know how Kelly holds it all together because I'm hearing it. And the situation can take me back. Emotionally, psychologically, and it can almost make me feel physically that I'm back in the situation. And I have a choice to make. I have a choice to react, or I have a choice to pause. It's not in my notes, but the other day I could hear it upstairs. I'm down in my office, you know, and we have wood floors, and I could hear it. And I could feel it rising up in me, and I could feel it. And you want to know what I felt? I felt my voice. It can get louder. I can be more destructive, but that's not the reality that I was in. God says, "Yo, be." You know, if you're at the gym with me sometimes, and Aaron will hear it, "Yo, be." It's time to take a time out, man. Chill out. "Yo, be." God says, "Take a time out." I have to take that moment of pause to realize where I am. I'm in my home. I have a loving, caring wife that is doing her best with kids that are just trying to be kids. I must remember myself, the things that happened when I was a kid. They may have happened to me, but it's not what's happening now. It's not what's happening, and it's not where I'm going, and it's not who I am. Hear these next couple phrases. They're very thought out and they're very deep, but hear them. We must take the time to pause. We must take the time to reflect. The moment of pause allows our mind, our body, and our spirit to catch up to the present so the Holy Spirit can work in us so we can make godly decisions. Amen? Hear this one. If we don't pause, this is really deep. If we don't pause, we react. And if we react, we are not reacting to the present. We are actually reacting to the past. And if we've had negative reactions and the same experiences in the past, we are actually reacting to the past. And we are actually recreating the past in the present and recreating the past to be present. And that's not what we want. God recognizes the importance to pause. God is the creator of the great pause. If we go to Genesis 2, 1 through 3, God even took a pause. So the creation of heaven and earth and everything in it was complete. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested for all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was a day when he rested for all his creation was completed. He looked for that moment in time, a pause to look, to reflect on all he did, and he said it was good. If God can take a pause, so can we take a pause. We have been trained to react, react, react. In this radioactive world of reaction, we need to take moments of pause. And they're going to pause. Amen? Amen. There's a moment in our life where we have to take an inventory check of our thoughts, our emotions, our responses, our actions, our habits, our intentions, our motives. C.S. Lewis, this is a little long, but stay with me. We all want progress, but progress means getting nearer to the place where we want to be. And if you have taken a wrong turning, then to be forward doesn't get you any nearer. If you are on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive man. There is nothing progressive about being pig-headed or refusing to admit a mistake. And if you look at the present state of the world, it's pretty plain that humanity has been making some big mistakes. We're on the wrong road. And if that is so, we must go back in the quickest way possible. In talking about roads, I have another testimony, and I hope you don't mind testimonies, but I had one of the greatest moments, one of the greatest pauses in my life was weeks leading up to my salvation. Salvation was one of the greatest pauses, but one of the greatest pauses leading up to my salvation was a day that I pulled over on the side of the road. A day, a moment, I pulled over and I wept and I cried and I realized I was lost. This was before salvation. I was driving down the wrong road at the wrong time to the wrong place to go see the wrong people. I literally pulled over on the side of the road and I was weeping and I was crying and I realized I was lost. And I can remember the day like it was yesterday. And I even spoke the words out of my mouth and I said, I am lost. At that moment, a great pause. At that moment, a pause that changed my life. At that moment, eternity paused. At that moment, eternity said, he's ready. At that moment, I realized my eyes were open to God. God was there the whole time, but I couldn't see Him until the pause. And I want to bring our attention to a couple scriptures. And those scriptures are about a pause. And the first scripture is out of Luke 23:37 through 39. And this is a very, very powerful scripture. These are very, very powerful moments about Jesus. They called out to Him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above Him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside Him scoffed, "So you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." Reaction, reaction, reaction. This man was reacting out of rage, anger, and fear, throwing stones and insults at Jesus, not stopping to realize what was really happening around him. Now let me read the rest of the scripture, 40 through 43. "But the other criminal protested, 'Do you not fear God, even when you've been sentenced to death? You deserve to die. We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong,'" talking about Jesus. "Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said, 'I assure you, today will be the day you're in paradise.' A leopard's spots were removed. Drug addiction was removed. Sin was removed. Depression was removed. A moment in time, a life was changed at that moment. It was a moment of pause. God in all eternity was at a great pause. The entire universe pausing to watch Jesus give everything. Two men in the same situation. One reacted, one paused. In that moment of reflection, in that moment of reckoning with reality, the man realized his humanity, caught the attention of Jesus, the spot remover, the DNA rearranger. The man asked for forgiveness. The man's spots were washed away. The man's sins were cleansed. He was forgiven. His eternal destiny was changed forever. Two men in the same situation with Jesus. One reacted. One took a pause. Will we pause? Will we pause and catch the attention of Jesus? We are 25 days from Easter, approaching the greatest day and event of all creation. This month of March should be a big pause for us leading up to Easter, to be looking, reflecting, thinking, praying, realizing the season that we're in. Will we pause? Will you pause to get the attention of Jesus? And I'm going to close out with a couple calls for action. I call myself to action. I call you to action. If you're watching online, I call you to action. The first action is one of the most important actions. Don't wait. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the spot remover. You don't have to wait till the end. You don't have to wait till rock bottom. You don't have to wait till everything is falling apart to accept Jesus into your life. Don't wait. Accept Him now into your life. Jesus wants to live and be your Lord and your Savior. Jesus wants to give you life, a life of freedom, like He gave me that day 18 years ago. The next call for action is one of the biggest actions, is turn around. Get back on the right road. Get back on track. God parted the Red Sea. If He can part the Red Sea, He can part roads for us. He can clear paths for us. He can allow clear paths for us to move in the right direction. He wants that for us. Make the turn. Turn around for us to move into freedom with Jesus. Turn to Jesus, the cleanser, the cleansed smudger, the one that cleans our mess ups, the one that cleans our mistakes, our blunders, our fumbles. Turn to God. Turn to the Bible. Turn to Jesus. And the last one is we need to pause. God wants us to pause. God wants to give us peace. We have to pause to take an inventory check, again, of our thoughts, our emotions, our responses, our actions, our habits, our intentions. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and work through us. And I want to read this last scripture in closing. It's out of Galatians, and it reads 5:22-24. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them. In closing, let's pause. Let's be like the sinner at the cross. Let's be like the one that paused, that realized that all of creation was right there. All of eternity was staring at Jesus. Jesus was there to die for each and every one of us. And one man, because he paused and he realized what was really going on, he said, "Jesus, forgive me. Take me to eternity. Take me with you." In that moment, his spots were changed. In that moment, that phrase, in that moment, just like me on the side of the road, like that boy, I took that moment to pause, and my spots were removed because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So if anybody has spoken that over your life today, that you can't change, that you won't change, that you are who you are, and they've spoken words over you, I rebuke them in Jesus' mighty name, and I call forth the spot cleanser, the one that changed my spots, the one that can change your spots. Can you give me an amen? So I just thank you guys for, you know, coming out tonight. And I just, you know, I just want to glorify Jesus for everything He's did. Because if I wasn't here today, if I didn't take those moments to pause and realize the goodness of God, I wouldn't be here today. So let me pray as I close. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for His blood cleansing each and every one of us. And God, if somebody has accepted you tonight, if somebody here or somebody online has accepted you tonight, cleanse them in Jesus' mighty name. And if somebody has turned back to you down the road, down the right road, lead them and guide them. And Lord, help us pause. Help us take moments of look within so your Spirit can do what you do in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.
Come on, give Brad a hand tonight. It's impossible to pause without the Holy Spirit's help, isn't it? Amen. Go back and read Romans 8. Now I know why I read it when we started. That's without God's help, it's impossible not to react. We're gonna close out tonight with a song. Why don't you stand with us, smile at somebody, and just enjoy God's presence for a minute. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in this house? If the altar's where you meet us, take me there, take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here. My life is here, will be a living sacrifice to you. You're the fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by fire. Come on, tell the Lord, purified. Take whatever you desire. Oh, Lord, here's my life. Oh, I want to be tried by.
Come on, tell the Lord, purify me.
Purify. Take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. If your glory wants to come in, let it fall. We want it all. Lord, your fire is consuming. Oh, fill this place, set it ablaze. I'll be a living,
come on,
a sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I want to be consumed. I want to be tried by.
Come on, if this is your prayer, tell the Lord.
Purify. Take whatever you desire.
Give it to him. Give it to him.
Lord, here's my life. Oh, I want to be tried by fire. Purify. Purify. Take whatever you desire. Lord, here is my life.
I declare this over someone tonight.
Clean my hands, purify my heart.
Come on, tell them, tell them, tell them.
Burn for you, only for you. Take my life as a sacrifice. I want to burn for you. Oh, clean my hands. Clean my hand.
Come on, lift your hand.
Purify my heart.
Come on, tell them, tell them.
I want to burn, burn for you. Only for you. Take my life as a sacrifice. I want to burn for you, holy for you. I want to be tried by.
You tell them.
Oh, purify. Take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my life.
Come on, give the Lord a praise tonight. Come on, give him a praise tonight. Come on, seal it with a praise tonight. Give him a praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to close by telling you this. If you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, he will. This service tonight, if you can discern in the Spirit, God led this whole service tonight from beginning to end. Come on, if you're thankful, lift your hand. Father, we're thankful for the leading of your Holy Spirit in this place, not only tonight, but over the next few weeks, God, that your presence, that your power, that your purpose would be felt in each heart, in each family, in each life in this place. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and tell men everywhere that it pays to serve you. Oh, how it pays to serve you. We thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you leave tonight, walk down here and give Brad a smile and tell him how much you appreciated the word tonight, would you? God bless you.